From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Here is, I think it's fair to say, the most frustrating equation in entrepreneurship. Growth doesn't always equal growth. Logically, it seems like it should, right? You have a product and you get it into more stores, and that should mean the company is growing. You have a service company and you're growing more clients and hiring more people, and that should mean the company is growing. Or you're in franchising and are selling more units of your franchise than ever before, and that should mean your company is growing, right? And on that last point in particular, Shannon Wilburn definitely thought that was true.
My name is Shannon Wilburn, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of Just Between Friends. And we have to say co-founder because I do have a co-founder, and we don't want things to get awkward with her when we say founder. So we say co-founder.
Okay. I don't want any awkwardness with your co-founder.
Just Between Friends is a consignment events company based in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So basically, it hosts events a few times a year where it gathers up and sells used clothing and toys and stuff in local communities. And this is a franchise system, which is to say that Shannon and her co-founder are in the business of selling franchise units to people across the country, and then those individual franchisees are the ones actually putting on the events. And about a decade ago, Just Between Friends hit a major growth spurt. It started selling about triple the number of franchise units that it normally did. And at first, this really excited Shannon. I mean, to her, it meant that the company was reaching its potential. But, like I said, growth doesn't always equal growth. And soon after her company expanded rapidly, she looked at her numbers and realized something was seriously, seriously wrong. So she sat down with some consultants she'd been working with and showed them what she was seeing.
We got together and they looked at, you know, the information that we had with big eyes, like, wow, okay, we might go out of business.
To save the company, she'd need to figure out what was wrong quick. And spoiler alert, it would mean solving a problem related to growth. Rapid expansion was, in fact, the thing hurting her business, and Just Between Friends would need to make some major changes in order to support its growing business going forward. Which it has, by the way. Today, they have 151 franchises in 30 states, and the corporate side of the business is healthy and ready for more. So, how did Shannon get growth to finally equal growth? We will dig into the math right after this break. Money. It comes up on this show all the time. I mean, what entrepreneur doesn't at some point have a problem with money? For small business owners, reaching your potential means having extra capital to make investments or manage cash flow, and that is where Kabbage comes in. Kabbage offers access to flexible lines of credit of up to $250,000 that you can use at any time. Apply online to get a quick decision. Kabbage gives you the flexibility to withdraw what you need, when you need it, using your computer, the Kabbage mobile app, or the Kabbage card, anywhere Visa is accepted. Kabbage has funded nearly $5 billion. They're trusted by over 140,000 businesses and are A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Be ready to achieve your dreams with the security of a line of credit from Kabbage. Get started at Kabbage, and that's, by the way, Kabbage with a K, kabbage.com/PS, as in problem solvers, to get $100 when you qualify. That's Kabbage with a K, kabbage.com/PS. Disclaimer, credit lines and pricing are subject to periodic review and change. This is not a revolving account. Individual requests for capital are separate installment loans. All Kabbage business loans are issued by Celtic Bank, a Utah chartered industrial bank, member FDIC.
And now our second sponsor.
I have read and heard a lot over the years about Casper, and I've always been intrigued by how a mattress is delivered right to your door in an impossibly small box. I've always wanted to see it. And finally, last week, I did. This right here is the sound of my wife and I opening our Casper mattress.
Oh, it's like rolled. It's literally a roll.
That air is supposed to go whoosh, whoosh.
Well, we hadn't actually freed it from its wrapper yet, but we will. The whoosh is just one of the many great things about Casper. There's also the affordable prices, free shipping and returns in the US and Canada, that the mattress cradles your natural geometry in all the right places, that the original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams and has a breathable design that helps regulate your body temperature throughout the night. And also, if you're like me, you'll get pretty excited as you open it from its wrapping and...
Something is starting to happen. Something is starting to happen.
Oh yeah, it's a mattress. And it's a really soft one at that. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-in-it trial. Get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/problem solvers and use the promo code problem solvers. Again, casper.com/problem solvers, promo code problem solvers.
All right, we're back. So before we understand how Shannon solved the problem, let's talk about how she got into it. And that, for better or worse, starts with her mom.
We started really in my living room, and it was an idea that my mom had actually given me. I was trying to stay home with my two little kids. I had a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I had told my mom, I said, if you hear of any good ideas of ways that I can help supplement our family's income, let me know. And she called me one day, and she worked with a lot of young moms. They weren't called millennials back then, but she worked with a lot of young moms, and they had come back from their lunch break after going shopping at a consignment event. And it was very close to where she worked, and she had not attended, and she didn't have any information. And this was back in 1997, before really small business had a presence on the new internet. And She didn't have a lot of information. She just said, hey, Shannon, you need to start this in Tulsa.
Shannon was familiar with consignment shopping. Her dad had fallen ill when she was a kid, and it put the family on a really tight budget. Then Shannon married a pastor and had two kids of her own and kept on consignment shopping. So she called a friend from church and said, what do you think? Do you want to do a consignment event? And the friend said yes. And so in 1997, they held their first event. It was simple back then. They convinced 17 friends from church to bring them gently used children's and maternity clothes, toys, and baby equipment. And then they set it all up like a little marketplace in Shannon's house. And they sold $2,000 worth of merchandise. Most of that went to the people whose stuff was sold, of course. So Shannon and her co-founder each just made $150.
We each made $150, and I think that was the hardest $150 that I think I've ever made. But what we decided was this was something that we would probably do again, because the people that shopped asked us, are you going to do this again? And it helped the families that were selling items to make some money, and it helped the families that were buying save money. So it just seemed like a win-win.
So they did it again and again and again. And each time more people attended, and they'd need a larger venue. And eventually they had to move this thing to the 58,000 square foot Tulsa Fairgrounds. Then people in other states started asking if they could use the name Just Between Friends and run their own events in Florida or California or whatever. And Shannon and her co-founder said, sure, go for it. Like, you know, no licensing deal or whatever. Just take the name and run. Because at that point, Shannon and her co-founder, they were totally unfamiliar with the concept of franchising. And so what happened in other states just seemed irrelevant. By 2003, there were 10 other Just Between Friends events running in other states, and Shannon was spending a lot of time on the phone helping these people. And she was complaining about this to a local businessman she knows, and that's when the trajectory of Just Between Friends changes.
The gentleman that I was complaining to, he said, well, is your business profitable, Shannon? And I said, yeah. And he said, are the businesses in Texas and California and Florida profitable? And I was like, yeah. And he said, well, have you thought about franchising? And I said, what is that? And he made it sound so easy.
Shannon bought a copy of the book Franchising for Dummies, talked to some local franchisers, and started getting into this business. By the end of 2003, she and her co-founder called up other events that had been using their name and said, hey, we are getting into franchising, and would you like to become charter members? All but two said yes. And that's how it began. And I should say, I just skip ahead here so that you fully understand what is going on in this business. Let me just talk for a second about what a Just Between Friends event is now, because it has evolved rather significantly from what it used to be at the very beginning with just inside Shannon's house. Okay, so it's complicated, but to give you a sense, when there's an event, locals are invited to sell their wares at it, right? They go online and enter each item into a sales system, get guidelines on pricing, then receive a price tag to put on each item. Then, a day or so before the consignment event, these people drop off all their merchandise, it all gets inspected, and then the franchisee arranges everyone's stuff together like a big department store in whatever venue it's being taken place in. So boys' clothing together by size over here, girls' stuff over there, and so on. And when something is purchased, the barcode on the price tag is scanned, and the person whose stuff it originally was can instantly see that a sale happened. At the end, all unbought stuff can be returned to its owner or donated to charity. So, you know, don't think of like the flea markets where everybody's standing there with a table with their wares. This is like a far more sophisticated and arranged operation. Okay, anyway, so like I said, the company starts franchising in 2004. And for the next few years, it signs on between 10 and 15 new franchisees a year. Then comes 2008, and the economy starts tanking as the recession hits, and Just Between Friends becomes one of those rare companies to actually boom during a recession. It's low overhead and deals and discount goods, and so that makes sense.
We had so many leads we didn't know what to do with, and in 2009, we sold 30 franchises.
30 franchises, about double, maybe triple what they normally did, and this is now where we're entering the problem territory. This is when growth seems to be great because, you know, the objective of the company is to sell franchises, and now it's doing that at a rapid pace. What could go wrong? But in turn, the company's budget is shrinking. It has way less cash on hand than it expected to, and it did not know why. And Shannon knew she needed to solve this problem, and fast.
Crisis time is what I felt like it was. And because I knew, Jason, if we failed, then our franchisees would fail too because we wouldn't be there to support them. And I felt this huge sense of responsibility, as would anyone in my position, of, you know, wow, I'm not being very leaderly. I didn't plan for this. And so it was definitely a fearful time.
To her credit, Shannon is really upfront about what the core of her problem was. She just hadn't done the math on her business model. And I know that's a total head smacker, like, come on, basic stuff, but cut her a break because I hear this from a lot of first-time entrepreneurs. They get into business and they have so much to focus on that they basically start learning by experience. Like they do this or that, and if it works, they just keep doing it. And they're not systematizing it. They're just kind of going. And so when Shannon opened franchises and it worked and it made the company money, she just kept doing it. I challenge you to ask yourself, do you know why every part of your business works? Do you know what's the breaking point? I mean, it's great if you do, but I'm saying you may not, and you probably should. So in the case of Just Between Friends, here's what we're looking at. When a franchisee bought into the system at the time, they were paying an upfront fee of about $10,000. That's money that goes straight to corporate. So good. But then the franchisee must be trained in how to run these events, which requires time and resources from Shannon's team. And meanwhile, the franchisee is actually a while away from generating revenue for the company. And when a franchisee does generate revenue, it's not actually very much. The franchisee pays a corporate royalty of 3%. And remember, franchisees only host events a couple times a year, like two, maybe three or four, which means that the learning curve is a slow process and it's across years.
So when you have a franchise only paying royalties of 3% on, you know, a $30,000 event two times a year, and they're going to increase that over the next 3 to 5 years, you're only taking in a couple of thousand dollars in royalties per franchise. And that is, it's not, you know, you can't really sustain that.
That's where the problem came from. When they were signing up a smaller number of franchises, the balance worked. Like, they could onboard the franchisee and still be taking in enough revenue to support everything. But at 30 franchises, the balance just became untenable. Now, maybe you, like me, were wondering, why not just ditch this event model and start opening regular consignment shops? That way you have consistent business year-round, and people probably need less training on how to run a shop than they do in these complex and unique events. And Shannon said yes, she's looked into that, but there are already a bunch of franchise competitors in that space, and the event model gives her some major advantages over them. So for one, a store is a limited amount of space, so it's not able to take most of someone's clothes. Just Between Friends is popular with consumers because that's exactly what it can do. It enables them to take a ton of stuff at once, like a big spring cleaning for people. Two, consignment stores typically pay cash up front for items and then resell them, which means that they need a lot more cash on hand. The events don't actually take ownership of items. They just serve as a marketplace. Or that's usually true. They're occasionally there are exceptions to that. But anyway, and three, because the events only happen a few times a year, they appeal to a very specific kind of franchisee, often moms or other people who are looking for a way to stay active in business but not do it full time. And so this is something that they can run out of their home. This is a pool of franchisees totally untapped by the brick and mortar franchise world. And given all that, Shannon says, yes, it makes sense to stay with the events model so long as they could make it work. So how do you make it work financially, given what we now know about how dangerous it is to expand rapidly? As Just Between Friends figured it out, Shannon's first order of business was to declare a severe tightening on all spending.
Like, we're not going out to lunch. We're not taking people to coffee. We are not traveling. We are not going to conferences. We are going to try to do this even more so on a budget than we already were.
And in 2010, they closed 10 franchises that they just couldn't support. Shannon hated to do that, but it was necessary to get the company's finances in line. So now the question is, if they're keeping the events model and are going to continue to bring on new franchisees, how do they get it to work better? How can everyone make more money and make it faster?
And I really looked to my own leadership and what did I do wrong and how can I be a better leader for my franchisees? And what we figured was 2011, we spent money and time and effort looking at the support side of our business and how can we support these franchises.
Support. That is the key word there. Support. That's really big in the franchise world. One could argue it's the single most important thing that a franchise company does. It is to find ways to support its franchisees and help them become more profitable. Just Between Friends launched an annual survey for its franchisees, which helped Shannon understand exactly what kind of support its franchisees were looking for. And the survey was showing that franchisees definitely weren't getting the kind of support they felt they needed. So that's good insight. Now, Just Between Friends needs to be able to actually provide that support, and that would prove to be critical. Because consider it, let's back up to the whole problem here. Just Between Friends sell franchises. The franchise takes a lot of time to make money, and therefore the franchise isn't quickly compensating the corporate Just Between Friends office for the upfront resources of training that franchisee. And now we know that once the franchisee is up and running, they aren't feeling like they're getting the support they need, which means that they're slower to actually make money. So what's the solution? The solution is to staff up, to spend money to make money. So Shannon hired a CFO as well as a lot of other important new team members.
We actually have 10 employees now. And so we've got a support team of four. And we've got just a recruiter. I've got a director of operations. We have the accounting team. And so, you know, I feel like we are doing a much better job than we were in 2010, 2011. And that's because we've tried to plan for that.
Tell me the return on investment of this kind of staff. So, for example, the support people are now there, which means that your franchisees can get more support from you, which means that you're seeing that they grow faster and generate more
correct
revenue. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that is 100% correct.
Yeah.
We have a director of training and support, and then we have a franchise care coordinator, and then we have the emerging franchisee coach, and then we have a team coordinator. So that's considered our support staff. And we also have a team of, I think it's 8 or 9 current franchise owners that act as our on-call support. So if franchisees if they're at their event and they have an emergency and they need to get a hold of someone, you know, maybe their computer's not working right or they're having issues, their line's out the door and they don't know what to do. It's just kind of emergency support. We always have 3 on-call staff and then we have 8 support staff that kind of rotate monthly.
Shannon also got herself some support. She had Just Between Friends join the International Franchise Association, which gave her access to franchise owners around the country who were willing to take her calls and offer help whenever she needs advice. She also built a 4-person advisory team of people from the franchising world. And all of this, she says, helped right the ship. The franchisees began to become more profitable, they continued to sign up new franchises, and the whole system began to flourish. To Shannon, the big takeaway here is how important it is to be humble. She was a leader in a situation she didn't have the right experience for, and she survived it because she was willing to turn to others and, frankly, question what her own role and value is. And she's really impressively open about that.
I bring in people who are much smarter than me, like this advisory board, like my executive team, like the CFO. And, you know, we have franchise owners who are much smarter than me. We have lots of very professional people within our organization, and I intend to continue to tap into their brilliance to make this brand, you know, to gain more market share and to continue to grow the brand. And I know it's not about me, but right now I'm still here, so and not planning on going anywhere right now. But just I think anyone, especially entrepreneurs, you question, you know, have I outlived my usefulness within the organization? And so anyway, just some transparency there.
I love that transparency. And I think it nicely answers that big question I asked at the opening of this episode. What happens when growth doesn't always equal growth? When your company is growing one way but somehow suffering at the same time? The answer is that you need to understand exactly what kind of growth is right for your business. And if you don't know the answer, you need to be humble enough and transparent enough to surround yourself with the kind of people who do. Just Between Friends survived because, as a company, it finally understood itself. And now, in the right way, it can continue to grow.
And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.